of Anas would not allow him to take the money on that that was raised, because that wasn't his intention. See, that wasn't his intention. So sometimes the halacha, sometimes the halacha is framed in a certain way because of a principle, because of an ideal. The ideal is Anas. So Anas, the ideal, yes. So that's one part of halacha. That's mishpat, really. That's mishpat. What is mishpat? Mishpat means justice. It means justice. Okay? Justice means that a person has to have a love of the truth. That's what justice is. What is chok? Chok means something else. Chok means that a person listens to the halacha. It doesn't mean he listens to the halacha. Of course he has to listen to the halacha. I mean, if God says that's the halacha, there's no question he has to listen to the halacha. It's not even a question. I mean, it doesn't mean to say, because he doesn't understand, he listens to the halacha. It's nonsense. That's not the idea. What it means is like this. It means that there are other cases where we listen to the halacha because of the beauty. The halacha talks to us in the form of the beauty of the halachic structure. The beauty of the halachic structure. There's a certain beauty in the halachic structure. Whether it's Yisurin, whether it's an Issachazer, or whether it's a halacha of Paraduma, whether it's Tum of Atayra, or whether it's Kodshin. There's a beauty to the halachic system. In chok, a person, what moves a person in chok is the beauty of the halachic structure. In mishpat, it's not so. In mishpat, what moves him in mishpat is the ideal behind it. The ideal behind it. You see, that's mishpat. Because mishpat is a love of justice, a love of emes, shalakim emes. So that's something, that's what moves a person in mishpat. Of course, the Torah, the way the Torah defines Mishpat, it brings it out to the highest nth degree of sensitivity. The highest degree of sensitivity in Mishpat. And a person must be sensitive. What does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says you're not allowed to Lasanu Isishamisa, what's the Pasuk? Not to even say anything to a person that hurts them. Lasanu, 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 Lasanu Shamisa. Onos dvarim, slightest thing, onos dvarim, okay? So the Torah brings it to the height of sensitivity. I mean, the word of Lashon Hara, Vak Lashon Hara. Torah develops it to the highest possible point. But that's all Mishpat. Lashon Hara is part of Mishpat. It's not a chok. So what moves a person in the Torah system, what moves a person in the Torah system, is two things move a person in the Torah system. One is the beauty of the ideas and the truth of the ideas, Parshas Kedoshim, with the Parshas Kedoshim, like I mentioned many times, they go to Parshas Kedoshim, see, most beautiful system, sir. If people would keep those halachas, you'd have the most beautiful society. And the only way they could do it is they'd keep those halachas. There shouldn't be any Lashon Hara, there shouldn't be any Lashon Hara, Rachel Ban Mecha, this Lashon Hara, not the same thing to another person that bothers them. All these halachas of people, that's the only way. If you just look at that parsha, you see the perfect society. The only way you can have a perfect society is no other way. Every halacha over there is precisely formulated to set up the perfect society. That's mishpat. But there's something else that moves Klal Yisrael. Mishpat is one thing. The other thing that moves Klal Yisrael is the beauty of the halachic system. A person puts on tefillin. Tefillin are structured a certain way, precisely. A person understands tefillin. There's a different anachas tefillin. Understand the ritzuas, ibul lishma, the batin, the ksav, the parshias, the whole seder, the whole picture of what he's doing. It's a different concept. That's the concept of chok. That's the idea of chok. It's not that chok is such a difficult thing there's a lot of things that God understands that we don't understand. Of course we do it. That's not the big thing that we do it. It means shom somlo choku mishpat v'shom yisrael was that Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael the two ways to perfect the person, for the person to perfect himself. Choku mishpat. One is the love of the true ideals, and the other is the love of the structure of the halacha. The structure of the law. That's what chok really is. Chok and mishpat. Both of those components. If a person has both of those components, then it's perfected. He needs both. He needs both. They're two different things. Okay? Mishpat alone, philosophers had. Mishpat alone, philosophers had. But Chok, no one else besides Yahadot has Chok. Nobody else has such a system. And that's why it says, Umos Ha'olam Aligim Alehem. Because Mishpat Umos Ha'olam can recognize great philosophers. Had Mishpat, the Rambam says, there are machavas many things in the Torah. Great philosophers. But Chok, nobody has. Chok is only Yahadot has. Only the system of Yahadot has Chok. And Chok is a necessary ingredient, a necessary component to move a person. Why doesn't a person eat Chazer? Not the person that's a London doesn't eat Chazer. And of course he listens to what the Torah says. Is that going to go ahead? But that's a base level. A person who knows how to learn, he has a love for my Cholos Atzuris. In the abstract, I mean. My Cholos Atzuris is beautiful. All the Rambams in my Cholos Atzuris. All the Rambams in Hilchos Machalas Suras. The structure of the Issa. What's the nature of the Issa? Kizayas, Pachas Mekizayas. What's the Halacha? Treifon, Avela. I mean, the whole system of Halacha. What moves, on the contrary, if she bitzachaza, if she bitzachaza. What moves the Baal Halacha? Why is the, what turns the Baal Halacha away from eating Chazer? It's not so much the fact that he's eating. It's something he wants, and God told him not to eat it. When he sees Chazer, when he sees something that's treif, he sees the whole halachic system in front of him. He can't abandon the system, which to him is chayim, and which to him is the most enjoyable thing. He understands the beauty of the system. The chok, that's a necessary component. It's a different type of a person. He relates to the Yisurim in a different way. That's why in Mora they had to have Limud in Mora. Mora was Limud really. Shom, in order to perfect a person, he needs two things. Mishpat is the philosophical perfection. That's a philosopher could appreciate the Parshas Kedoshim. An intelligent philosopher could appreciate the Parshas Kedoshim. You'd see that this is the only if a person wanted to set up the proper laws to have a perfect society, these are precisely the laws. And if anyone keeps these laws, there has to be perfect society. Philosopher would see that right away. He wouldn't laugh at it. He wouldn't ridicule it. Chok is different. Chok is a separate thing that qualifies for our lives. To appreciate something, even though it's not tied into the ideal, it's the chok itself. It's the law itself. See, the word chok really, where is the word chok used? The word chok is used by the natural law. Chukos shamayim v'aretz. The natural law. Can a person explain the natural law, why it's that way and why it's not another way? Nobody can explain it. The greatest physicist will tell you there's no way to explain it. Why should the system, or why should the laws of nature work according to, let's say, according to relativity, according to an inertial system, along the framework of an inertial system? Why couldn't it be that the laws of nature work according to the universe? And motion should be a phenomenon within the system? Why could... No one can explain such a thing. There's no thing. It's a chok. It's a law. In physics, it's the same kind of physics. You have chok. You can't explain why it should be that way. No physicist will ever try to explain why it should be that way. All he can tell you is the way the law. He must subordinate himself to the law. But what does he find when he subordinates himself to the law? He finds a tremendous beauty in the harmony of the laws. That's what we have in Torah. That's what we have in chukim. That's what it means, chukim. That's what a chok really means. It's not that philosophically we don't understand it. It's only a very simple person that can't do something because philosophically he can't. It's a low-level individual. Any person who's a little more intelligent knows that. The doctor prescribes medication, he doesn't understand, but he takes it. He knows he has to take it. It's a simple, simple thing. God tells him. So that's it. But that's a simple one. That's a simple, simple thing. It's good for a simple thing. But the true idea of chok is a different concept. Chok means a person that appreciates the halachic law. He sees the beauty of the halachic law. He's not moved by the why of the law. What he's moved by is the what of the law. That's what moves him. Just like in physics, the physicist is moved by what is in nature, not why. He can't explain why, he never intends to explain. He wouldn't even dream of explaining such a thing. Okay? Yetzer HaMatata means something else. It means that the reason why it says Yetzer Matanta is because it means, what is the, how is the Yetzer Matanta by a Chok? How is the Yetzer Matanta by a Chok? Yetzer Matanta by a Chok, it means that the Yetzer Matanta means that he has to subordinate himself to the system. So he has to subordinate his mind to the system. The Yetzer Hara doesn't like to do something like that. The Yetzer Hara does not like to be subordinated to the system. See, if you tell a person, you show a person, say, look, I can show you something, you have to do this thing because it's rational. So say, that's reality. But if you show him a system, he's not going to want to accept that reality. It's a different world of reality. He has to subordinate himself to that world of reality. Once he does, he sees the beauty of the system. But in order to do it is the hardest thing to get a person to do something like that. In other words, to get a person, you want to show, you want to reach a person. What's the difference if someone doesn't know anything about Torah? How are you going to impress them? You're going to impress them with kukim? At a very difficult time. So who cares about who ate this half a break, his eyes, his bus, or so? Oh, it sounds silly. I mean, what's the difference? I'm going to worry about a machlekes if he ate this. Who cares about these things? Why should I be concerned about this thing? It's not reality. You see? But he explains something about justice. He can't deny justice. You see? That's what it means, Yetzahara Mekatre. Yetzahara Mekatre means there's a part of a person the Yetzer doesn't want to subordinate himself to the system. And I want you to know the difficulty in Torah is that a person will say, you'll teach a person who never heard halacha before, you'll sit down and learn a Gemara with him. So, you see a machlokes, you learn a machlokes, you sit down by the Seder, how do you do the krecha? First, you do the matzah, the mora, who cares about this? Well, what difference could this make? No, it's very important because according to him, it's a kizayis. Who cares? You see? That's Yetzer Mekatre. That's it. Yetzer Mekatre means the person has a difficulty subordinating himself to the system. Once he does, if he can overcome the Yetzer, if he can subdue the Yetzer, and he can listen for a minute, and remove his, you see, why does the Yetzer have a difficult time with that? I'll tell you what. Because the Yetzer is only attached to the Yetzer, basically. The Yetzer is not attached to ideas. So, in order to enjoy ideas, you have to remove yourself about who cares about the situation. See, the Yetzer is only attached to, what do I care about the situation for? He's interested in Taiva. So who cares? But if he can remove himself from his attachment to the physical desires, and he can just let his mind listen to it, then he appreciates then he'll appreciate the chachma. That's what it means, Yetzer Mekatre. Yetzer Mekatre means it's difficult for a person. So you can see yourself, a difficult person, you can introduce a person to something like this. It's a rare individual. There are people like that. It's a rare individual you can meet. He's never heard anything about Torah. And you'll sit down and explain to him the ideas of Pesach by the Seder, for instance. You'll tell him the halachic structure that he'll appreciate it. You can't get him into it. You have to get him into it from a different area. But there's a halacha showing him different things that he appreciates emotionally. Then later you take him in a little bit into halacha. So then finally he'll say, yeah, I see, it's a system of God. Okay, now see this. Then when he gets into it, he'll see a whole world opens up. But to make that transition is a difficult thing. That's what it means, Yetzer Mekatre. Menumos Olam Maligan. You see? Yetzer Mekatre. It's a difficult thing. The idea of chok is a total subordination of the Yetzer. Why is it a total subordination of the Yetzer? Because it means that the Yetzer Hara, which is concerned with the physical, has to be totally suspended. And what does he see before himself? An abstract world. So it makes a difference if a person ate an eighth of an ounce or if he ate 1.1 ounces. I mean, this is a whole world, the whole world of halacha. You can't appreciate this. The Yetzer Hara doesn't have any shekhas to this. It doesn't make any sense to the Yetzer Hara. You see, that's chok. That's chok. That's the bit. That's what Rashi mentions. Chazir. Anyhow, anything means the halachic system per se. The halachic system per se. The ones, Klal Yisrael enjoys the beauty of the halachic system itself. That's the idea of chok. That's really the idea of chok. Mishpat is perfection. Something which the mind can see that this is perfection. Loftiest ideas that the Torah brings a person to. That's mishpat. That's really the difference between that. Shom somlo chok and mishpat are meant like this. Visham Yisrael. It means like this. It means that God taught Klal Yisrael, the first limud, when he's from Yitzhak Mitzrayim, is to remove the energies. That's why, what did they have to have at this time? What did they have about Umma Sol? They're first getting out of there. Wait a second. Let me come in Umma first. Why? Because the point is that the first lesson they had to receive from Yetzias Mitzrayim was how to live. What are the two ingredients of how to live? One is there are certain objective principles. Love of MS, Mishpat, Tzedakah. There's different. That's the general principles. Ben Ola Chavero. Whole world of Ben Ola Chavero. That's Mishpat. Ben Ola Chavero. But then there's something else that a person needs. A person needs the subordination to the purely intellectual. Purely intellectual. And where is that subordination to the purely intellectual found? In Chok. Chok. That's what it is. Chok is the, you could sit down in the, you have a Gemara about two piles of chometz and two mice, and one mice was over, one mouse is over here, and one was over there, and you have all kinds of Gemaras about this is something which a person, which the Umos Olam would say, this is what they're discussing? Mice? Question about a mouse? What kind of a thing? It's crazy. This is something. The Yetzer Hara is not interested in being preoccupied with the case of the mice is not going to attract the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is interested in something else, not to worry about an abstract question based upon two mice and two piles of hummus. You see, that requires only intellect, only chachmah, pure intellect for the sake of understanding the halacha. That's chok. That's what chok is. So Moshe Rabbeinu, a person will come in contact with the world of mishpat because of his desires. He desires to kill somebody. He recognizes he can't. He can't do this. He desires to live with an Eishes Ish. Recognizes that he can't. It's impossible. He can't have a society like that. He has to restrict his titus. So that anybody can recognize that. Of course, there's beauty in the halachic structures over there too. I'm not denying that. I'm saying it's something which the area a person will be drawn to because of his natural concerns. That's the Yetzer Hara, his natural concern. But the area of Chukim, he'll never be drawn to it. And the only way. So that was Sham Samloch. That was the basic moral, was Yitzchavu Mitzvahs Mitzvahs. It wasn't just Mitzvahs Mitzvahs. It was the whole philosophy of the system of Yadus was given in moral. That's the whole philosophy. That's the whole philosophy of the system of Yadus. So the philosophy of the system of Yadis and the Derech HaChaim of Yadis was that if a person, and that's what the pasuk says, in Shema Tishma Lakol of Shema Lakecha Vayosho Bein of Taser, that means the Ava of Mishpot, Vazanto Lemitzvoso, Vashamata Kol Chukov, Vazanto Lemitzvoso, Vashamata Kol Chukov, then Kol Amar Hashem Zahar. Why those three? Question is, why those three? That was the question you asked. Why those three? Really, the truth in that egg. Rashi says chazer. So chazer could have been given instead of paradum, or after paradum. Chazer, many halachas, chukim and tarik, plenty of chukim. Why was paradumah chosen? Why Shabbos? And why Shabbos was chosen? You see? Where's Shabbos fitting? And then you have Dinah. I think the time is very simple. Time like this. These three are necessary. Why? Because, you see, in Paraduma, there is a remez for the reason why Paraduma was chosen because of its philosophical implication. See, what is Paraduma? Paraduma really is the metaher for Tumas Hames. Paraduma. Without Tumas Hames, no Paraduma. Paraduma is based on Tumas Hames. So it's the metaher for Tumas Hames. And what is Tumas Hames? Why is there such a phenomenon? Why is a mace tamay? A mace is tamay, not because of the taboo. Because there's the only one that can't touch a mace is Kayim, because there's a, but there's no issur in the Tamei Tamei. But there's a phenomenon of Tamei Tamei. There's an institution of Tamei Tamei. There's no issur in the Tamei Tamei, except for Kayim. It's kind of that. But the, what is the, why, what is Tumas Hames? Because in Tumas Hames, it means the only thing that remains is the guf. The guf is the only thing that is there. And the idea of Tumas Hames is that the guf in man is completely tamei. The only reason that the person, when he's alive, wasn't tamei, was because of Tzelem Elokim, because of neshama, because of Tzelem Elokim. But the moment the neshama leaves and it's just the guf, so that represents purely the physical, That's coming.
Yeah.
It means the idea is, insofar as man is concerned, there's tumma. There's no tumma for animals. Animals are outside the realm. But man was meant to have the tzelem elokim. The moment the tzelem elokim leaves, then all he has, all that's left is the guf. And a person identifies with the guf, we should recognize that the guf is tumma. That's why. It's under the bed. Because the tzelem elokim is gone. So the dmus elokim, very good. The dmus elokim is gone. That's right. Dmus tzelem elokim is gone. That's what I mean. And that's why lahavdil, see the goyim lahavdil, you see, they make they have a wake. What is a wake? The wake is that the person is still there. See, they can't accept the fact that the guf. That's why we just simply bury the guf. Bury the guf quickly. Say derech kavi, you treat the guf as kavi because you can't. Because since people identify with the guf that it's a person, so if you degrade the guf, so it's by association degradation to the tzelem elokim, because tzelem elokim resided in the guf and people and therefore you have to have covered for the mess. But the thing that you do as quick as possible is kvura. It's kvura. Whereas the goyim lahavdil, you see that they try to retain the guf. Because the whole essence is the goof, so it looks to them like very little is missing, basically. Okay. That was the limud of Mara. The limud of Mara was that the only way the person could be happy is if he satisfies the tzelem elokim. How's the tzelem elokim satisfied? Through two ways. Principles, certain principles, abstract principles, and true principles of justice. And also through the preoccupation with the chukei Hashem. Preoccupation with the halacha and recognition of the chok. That's it. We don't understand why, but when we study the halacha, we're not concerned with why. We're concerned with the beauty of the halachic system itself. Sham sam lachok u'mishpat v'sham yisrael. That's more. Okay, what? Didn't we know? Shabbos. What is Shabbos? Shabbos is very simple. What is the concept? Shabbos is very easy. Because Shabbos, what is the idea of Shabbos? Shabbos is the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Shabbos is the recognition of the Borei Olam himself. That's what Shabbos is. I mean, without the recognition of the Borei Olam, the whole system that doesn't exist. The Shabbos recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind the whole system. A person has recognition of the reality that's behind everything he does. Is the whole thing is any other one. So a person like that is worthless. All things worthless. Yeah, I don't have no Olam Haba. So without a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I mean, there's no... Shabbos is the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but moreover, Shabbos is not only... You notice there's two things in Shabbos. Shabbos is recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Shabbos is really a total dedication to Chochmas Hashem. That's what Shabbos is. What is Shabbos? Shabbos is a day in which there's no other preoccupation but the Chochmas. That's the whole purpose of the day, is dedicated to Chochmas Hashem. Dedicated to Chochmas Hashem because it's recognition of the Borei Olam. In both. Universal. Right. So Shabbos is really the central thing. But the Shabbos is a central thing. But it's expressed through two ways. It's expressed through Dinim on one side and through Chok on the other side. Dinim on one side and Chok on the other. The Shabbos, there is no Shabbos without the Chok of Mishpat. Shabbos without Chok and Mishpat doesn't exist. And Chok and Mishpat, of course, can't exist without Shabbos, because Shabbos is recognition of the Borei Olam. That's what is Shabbos. Shabbos is recognition of the Borei Olam, the source of all Chochmah. So the Borei Olam that's behind the physical universe that we perceive, behind the physical universe is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of the reality behind the physical, and is the source of all the Chochmah. So then the source of all the principles, source of Mishpat, and the source of Chukim. That's what Shabbos is. Okay, yes. But I'm trying to tell you this. The reason when Chazal says, for instance, Shlomo Melech knew the reason for every Chok except Paradoma. Okay? I want you to understand something. That means that's a different, that has nothing to do with this. People mix up different Chazal. No, there's a different Chazal. There's nothing to do with this. This means, all this, when Chokum Mishpat, you can ask a kasha. What are we saying? Yadu Masolom, Ms. Maligim, Ms. Makache, Yetzer Makache. What's the problem? Shlomo Melech knew the reason for every chok. So what are they being Makachek about? You see? There's a difference between the actual when a person studies Chokum Mishpat, the actual direct engagement in the study has nothing to do with the essence of the study. In Chukim, it has nothing to do with the reasons behind it. There's nothing to do with it. That's not what you're studying. When you're studying Mishpat, you're studying the reasons behind it. Okay? In other words, the encounter between man and Mishpat and man and Chok are two different, in their most primary essential form, are two different types of encounters. In Mishpat, you can't study the Shulchan Aruch and the Siman that has to do with the Isser of Gneivos Das, for instance. You can't study that symbol without understanding the concept of Gneivos Das. It's impossible. It's not a Shulchan Aruch of Hilchos Tefillin. You have to understand the basic concept and see how it's expressed in all the different areas. Okay? So your encounter is directly with the principle, with the underlying idea. Okay. Whereas your encounter in the Chok area is strictly with the halachic system. Strictly with the halachic system. That's Chok. The fact that every Chok has a philosophical reason is a different thing. It's a different story. Of course. Of course, Chokhmas Hashem is Ein Sof. So even the Chukim themselves weren't just created in order to involve you, engage you in a futile involvement in concepts. There's something behind it too. See? It's not, in other words, it's not just that Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't create a Chok just for the purpose. Of course, it's a benefit we receive from the Chok. Is the subordination to the system. But it's not just a Kadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't create just a system just like this, just to make a system. There's an idea behind it too. There's a philosophical idea behind it also. It wouldn't be Derech Hashem to just create something just for this purpose, even though that would be warranted. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem will come MS, it means that if there's a system of Chukim, there's an idea behind the Chuk. Why does a Paradigm? There's a reason for it. Reason for everything. Ramban says that there's a reason for every... In Vayikra you test. There's a reason for every single every chok. There's a reason for it. Because it's not Derech Hashem to just create things, arbitrary things, even though we benefit from subordination to them, but it wouldn't be emes. It would lack an emes. So there is an idea behind every one of those things. But we don't know the idea, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the most basic encounter that a person has when he studies Torah. So in Mishpat it's one kind of encounter, and Chok is a different encounter. Two different departments. That's what it means. Shom Som Lo Chok and Mishpat Hashem Yisrael. That was the Limud from Ma. The Limud from Ma was the whole Derech Hachaim. Whole Derech Hachaim. That's basically what it was. But it was only mitzvahs and mitzvahs, but those mitzvahs were enough to show the whole Derech Hachaim. And it taught a person what? That on the contrary, that from the Mora, from the Mar, then it's Vayimtiku Amayim. Then the water was sweet already. The taste is very sweet, but there was no searching for the luxuries. There was no searching. The search was given up. That's why life became very enjoyable. That's the limit from Mar. That's the limit from Mar.
Would you say
it would be a
physical event very
pleasant? Because I'll say, because Torah. Certainly, there's no question about it. But the event that took place was an event that paralleled symbolically the ideas. But in that place where that event occurred, those ideas were given, so that not only did they have the ideas, but it was tied in their memories to an event which made an impression on them physically. That's the idea. The Torah always does. The Torah tries to parallel the physical with the ideas. The Torah always does that. You know, all the mitzvahs practices like that. I mean, a person with a bias, you have a bias, that's a shelter, you put on a mezuzah. That's the real shelter. Begadim, you put on tzitzis. Always the Torah, that's the philosophy of the Torah. Teach a person through his physical experiences to tie the physical experiences to an idea. You get something that you like, you enjoy it, you make a shechiyam. Make a shechiyam. Remember to make a shechiyam. Why? Because you're excited about the physical enjoyment. Remember the Bayer Elam. Now's the time to be happy in terms of and see it in terms of the framework of reality. You see? That's the way this works all the time. That's okay. The complaint of them made was because they lacked as Adam. They lacked as Adam. That's why they made the complaint. Yes. It means Vasirosi Machalo Mikirbecha. It means apparently it means to say like this. What the prophet means to say is that if a person will carve out for himself a life which is enjoyable as an Adam, then there won't be any machleira, and there won't be any machleira. The mach will be removed also. That's what I mean. Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. That's a niyashem rofecha. Ani Hashem Rofecho, he says.
Yeah, but that ties into the idea of
Kol HaMachla. Right. Razantol, what does Rashi? Razantol says, Tata Oz Nechola for him. That's good. Razantol and Mitzvosov. And then Kochukov. He says, what? He says, Dvarim Shino Jesmovan, Os Malacho, Varim Masmayo Kola. Ara Kola Huko Husama. Kine Hashem Rofecho, Zimit Rasha. It's interesting. It's an interesting thing. What Rashi says could very well be a shot. I didn't examine that aspect of the pasuk, but what could very well mean like this, like the Rambam says, see, Rashi ties to a natural thing. Rashi says, "Kinyan Hashem Rofecho." It doesn't mean a mystical thing. It means a future. Kinyan Hashem Rofecho, Malamedcha Torah Mitzvos, Lamanti Nutzel Mehem, Kerofei Azeh, Ha'omer Lodem Al Tochal Dvarim Shemachzirim Asholi Day Chuli, Zeu Izin Mitzvos, V'Chein Omer Rifos Tehilif Sarecha. What it means like this. What it means, what the Rambam says. What the Rambam says, and what today you see today in medicine, what they're discovering also, that many of the chaloyim that a person suffers are simply related to the fact that because of his way of life, and his mishigas, and he runs after his mishigas, so his guf is destroyed also. Like they say, like tension and aggravation. Anocha Sheveres Gufo Shalodam means a person sighs, is upset, aggravation torments, racks the body, and it causes physical deterioration. So you see it. You see it in many cases. So what? Just take a look at these people's lives, read biographies, you see the same thing. Something bad happens, physically, especially an older person, is weaker, so you see, as soon as something bad happens, that's it. That's the end. Why? Because the psychological plays an enormous role in a person's physical health as well. The whole body functions differently. Not to say today that the endocrinologists say that when a person's under stress and strain and aggravation, so the endocrine system works differently, and the various hormones that the body produces are different, and it destroys the growth. So what it means like this. What it means is that the what it, that's what that's what Rashi gives the marshal. Rashi gives the marshal. Marshal is that if you will kerofei azeh ha'omalodim al tocha advarim shemachzim aschol deicholi v'zeh is in mitzvos rifos tehi l'b'sorcha, right? So it means to say, it means that what? It means that if the person lives that kind of a life, that he'll have a healthier life as well. That's what it means. Gives him minuchas nefesh. It gives him a different. Rambam talks about that. The Rambam talks all about that line. So it means it's a, and then you could say as well that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha relates to a person. See, what is health really? Health is a means. Health is not an end in itself. So a person who is not really living a life in which his life is really enjoyable as a human being, so if he has a disease, so it's just a distraction. In other words, it's a distraction. Matter of fact, psychologists show that sometimes a person gets a disease and they become healthier psychologically. Many times that happens. A person has a neurosis, they get a physical ailment, and suddenly the neurosis is gone. Why is it so? Because it's a distraction. In other words, a distraction from the psychological sphere and the physical sphere. And the energy is directed over there.
and then the psychological becomes better. It's a phenomenon like that. So what does it mean to say? It means, Cecilius, it means that a person who is not living according to Derech HaTorah really doesn't have very much need for help. Because the truth of the matter is, the energy is being frustrated anyway. The energy is being directed to frustration, so he's not living as a human being. So therefore, whether he has a disease or doesn't have a disease, it's just a matter of which kind of plague he's going to be suffering. He's going to be suffering, his energy is being directed to this or directed to that. So there's no reason for the Asgacha to assist him. But a person that's living according to the Derech HaTorah, so then he's living as an Adam. He's living as an Adam, so it means to say that all his energies, he's living a good life, he's living a happy life, then a chuli is really a tragedy. Because the chuli is taking him away from the Derech, from the Chayi Adam. And then the Ashgacha, then you have the Ashgacha, Kalamachla Shasanta Sanlo Asamalecha, then the Ashgacha comes in and will protect him from the chuli as well. That's what the pasuk really means. That the Ashgacha will work if there's a purpose. If there's no purpose, the Ashgacha is not going to work. The person's going to waste it. You see many times people in life, they're healthy, and they're very unhappy. And then some tragedy happens to them, and they say, I mean, I see this many times. And you see in life stories, very different individuals, they write, it's a possible way. Rasi Rosi Machla Mikibecha. It's an illustration. Rasi Rosi Machla Mikibecha. So it means like this, that many times you see a person will it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing phenomenon. Sometimes maybe it's hard to understand. You see a person who's a healthy individual. So recently story earlier. A person who's a healthy individual, is a football player, and what happened was that they were involved in an accident on a football field. And they broke the neck. And it was quadriplegic. And you see the person who says that he's as happy as he ever was. And it's strange, it's hard to understand. And they're working 10 hours a day, and how is such a thing possible? And the answer is like this. And the answer is because when they were well, they were very unhappy. See, when they were well, they weren't really living a life where there was a total fulfillment. There's a lot of unhappiness. And now, with this situation, a lot of those things are gone. A lot of those things are gone, and the energy is directed towards different things, and they can reestablish them, and they can even be happier than they were before. It's an amazing phenomenon. Human happiness is a strange phenomenon. A person can be healthy and well and be miserable, and you can see a person walk by in a wheelchair smiling. That's what it is. It's fine. Why is it so? It's so because the individual, the happiness of the person, you see, the happiness of the person is not really, the energy is not really being directed totally towards happiness. A lot of frustrations they have. And it's a trade-off. You see, many times it happens like that. So a lot of times the person goes, they say, now I see the real values in life. They say that, it's true, and they're happier this way. It's a strange phenomenon, but it's true. I'm happier now than I was before. Why? Because before the taivas were bringing them to tremendous frustration, and now these frustrations are over. They have to concentrate on some real things. So a lot of times on the contrary, a lot of times they improve their life, they improve their condition. Understand? I mean, you know, the person is not a spell for that. Why are they similar to why I run? But it means to say, but the phenomena is possible. The phenomena is true. You see, it's true. In actuality, it's true. So it means to say like this. It means to say that in such a situation, there's no reason for the Ashgacha to remove the Machala. Because it's just a trade. It could be just a trade-off, or it could be on the contrary. Sometimes a person doesn't have an improvement. But if a person is living fully the way he's supposed to live as an Adam, then a Machala is only a detraction. See? Then the Ashgacha. That's where the Ashgacha steps in. That's what the Pasuk means. Okay? Okay, the Sham Nisal means he tested them there. What it means was, the test was to see if they could tolerate the Mayim Amorim. They couldn't tolerate the Mayim Amorim. So because of the test, he gave them Chokum Mishpat. They weren't able to tolerate to arrive at this philosophy themselves. They couldn't arrive at the philosophy themselves. Perhaps they should have, but they weren't able to do it. So it was Sham Sam Chokum Mishpat Sham Nisal. They failed the test, And they had to have the they had to be set up.
It was by design of course.
It was by design.
Yeah,
because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't teach a person unless he's in need of the lesson. Just to teach a person a lesson before he really, that's what I mean. Before a person needs the lesson, it's worthless. You're talking to the deaf ears. You're going to tell him ideas. He doesn't need it. That's why it had to be the Sham Nisal. Sham Sham L'Chokum Mishpat. But the Sham Nisal. If there was no Nisohu, the Chokum Mishpat would be with us. It had to be Nisal. Because they failed the Nisayon. That's why the Chokum Mishpat, the Chokum Mishpat had value. But if there wasn't any Nisayon, the Chokum Mishpat would be with us. What I'm saying is that the situation of Mara was preordained in order that they should complain. They see, if they were, they were, of course they had Bechira. But God knew the way they're going to exercise their Bechira. And they exercised their Bechira in a false way, in a bad way, because they complained, which showed that their emotions were in the wrong way. Then he was able to show them, you should have, why did you complain this way? You should have, it doesn't make sense. So you see where your emotions are. Now I'm going to show you that a person has his emotions in that area is total destruction. And the only way that a person can be happy is through Chokum Mishpat, and then the Limud had meaning for them. If they didn't make that mistake, the Leman has no meaning. The only way you can teach a person something is by catching him right then and there with his emotions. You have to catch him right then and there. Oh, you think this is rational, but why don't you do it this way? Doesn't make sense. Oh, now you see where your emotions are. Now I'll show you where, how a person, the only way a person can be happy is if he has his emotions directed towards Chochmas Hashem, Chokum Mishpat, and the Vayimtiku Amoyim. They remembered the event. The event paralleled the ideas. And that's why it had meaning for them. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a whole system work there.
But if they weren't there,
that's right. The eighth shows exactly the opposite. That you think, right, you think you're going to follow the emotions. No, no, no. The bitterness is going to bring the happiness. That's exactly right. There's one, the limud is, the basic limud, just one second. Maybe I ought to just phrase the basic limud straight. The basic limud is that unless a person can't be happy unless he has one idea. There's one idea that he has to have. This is what Mora taught Klal Yisrael. There's one idea. A person is looking for happiness, he has to remember one thing. If he follows where his emotions are going to take him, he will not be happy. And if a person is in a situation of where the taiva has him, he just has to have one thought in his mind. Just think. Will the satisfaction of this taiva make you a happier person a week from now? There's no way. There's no way a person will see. This is crazy. So the person has to realize that following this emotion is not going to lead him to happiness. On the contrary, what's going to lead him to happiness? If he goes away into a different world altogether. It's a strange phenomenon, but that's what it is. If he goes away into a different world, into a world of Chachma, then he's going to be very happy. Not where he wants to go, a different place completely, then he's going to be very happy. That's the limit of Mara. In short, if a person doesn't grasp that, he doesn't really have the limit of Mara. That's what a person has to know, that that's so. Once his mind knows that it's true, then he'll be able to act that way. That's the limit. Okay. Matter of fact, this, the limit of Mara, is the whole limit of life. It's the whole limit of life. Everyone that seeks happiness with Shalom Kedera HaTorah is the person that doesn't know the simple limit of Mara. That's what it amounts to, basically. It means that he's convinced that he's going to attain happiness simply through following the way his emotions are taken. He's convinced about that. That is the thing, and that's why he could never get it. It's a total impossibility. And the funny thing is, as many times as a person will see it in others, time and time again, he will still try it. Why will he still try it? Because it's an inner force that's determining
even himself.
That was the limit of Mara. If that doesn't register, he could spend his whole life in a futile attempt, you see, of the attainment of pleasure and happiness, which he will never attain. A person wants a new car, that's not going to get him happy. You can be very sure in a short while he's going to be in the same position he was at right now. But if he removes the emotions from the area and sits and learns Torah, then he'll be happy. He'll be very happy. He'll find that he's happier with what he has than he would have been with this new attainment, which would lead to another frustration. Okay? One more thing to this. That the pasuk says, "Vayarehu Hashem Eitz." And the Tirgumunkula says alpha, alpha, which means lemur. What it means like this. It means this lesson, the conquest of this is really what would Bertrand Russell, who wrote a book, The Conquest of Happiness. It's only in Mara. That's where the conquest takes place. But the Pasuk says Vayarei Hashem Eitz, it means to say it's only possible through lemur. It's only possible through lemur and understanding. There is no way that a person can simply remove himself from the Yetzer Hara and direct himself to another area unless he understands it. Unless it has to be. That's why Vayarei Hashem Eitz. It was a lemur. Because without understanding the process and how it works and that it's true, you haven't got a chance. You just tell a person, withdraw your emotions from the taivas and put it into learning. He's never going to get it. He'll never get it. It's only if it's through limud and understanding and knowledge, through harah, through understanding, that it's possible to make that conquest. You can't make the conquest if you don't understand it. Just to tell a person, okay, control yourself. You're not going to be happy over there. Go over there. It has to be through limud, through understanding.
Well, that's
more. If they wouldn't, if they would have asked properly for the water, but the point is like this. If they would have asked properly for the water, so then God couldn't have given them the lesson. Yeah, but a child's like this. The only way to ask properly for tithes is a perfected person. That's what it means. If a person's emotions are in the, if a person's emotions are in the tithes, he'll never ask rationally about the tithes. There is always a neurosis. You see? It's with a neurosis. He must have it. You see? It's not, there's no such thing as being normal with regard to the tithes unless it's with regard to somebody else's tithes. You know what I mean? That's the only time.
You say,
where's that guy running? Look at him, he's going crazy. He has to have that car and has it set as a scratch. He's nuts. He's crazy. See? With regard to the other person's tithes. With regard to your tithes, that's a different story. See, the only way there is a rational approach to tithes is a rational approach. You see, for the Torah, if they would have gone to Moshe Rabbeinu nicely, asked him, "The water's bitter. Maybe we could be misspelled and have some sweet water." There's nothing wrong. But the answer is a person. If a person does that, it's tzadik gomer. It means in order to be rational with regard to tithes, it has to be tzadik gomer. And since if they were on that level, it would be the limit. Of course, they'd be on the level already. But apparently, they weren't on the level, and that's why they couldn't be rational with regard to the tithes. Okay?
Yeah.
Answer the question?
Yeah.
You see?
Right.
Then there's the extreme of the person who's the complete Baal Taiva. Okay? And then there's the person. There were four events that took place from the time of the Tzias Mitzrayim until the incident of Yisro. That was Mara, then Mon, then the Be'er, and then Amalek. Okay. We did Mara. Let's take a look at Mon. Okay. The Shalach Tes Zion. Yeah. Tes Zion Pasuk Dalet. Ayam Hashem Moshe Hinni Mamti Lachem Lachem Min Hashemayim. The Yotzo Om V'Lachtu Dvayom B'Yomo. So far is good. Then Laman Anasenu Hayelech B'Sarasi Imlo. So what is the man? What does that got to do with it? The reason why God gave the man is in order that they should be able to survive. So what does it mean, laman on asenu hayelef b'sarasi imlo? What does that have to do with it? Okay. So Rashi was bothered by the pasuk, and Rashi says that there were certain mitzvahs that were tied to the man. In Yishmeru mitzvahs apliyos bo, shlo yisim men at boker v'lo yetsu b'shabbat luka. There's two mitzvahs, that the yisim men at boker. Okay? And they couldn't leave anything over till the next day. And also, the Shabbos, you weren't allowed to collect the man. Now, Ramban is not too happy with that shot. Ramban's not happy with that shot. Ramban says differently. Ramban says like this. It's interesting. And Ramban really defines the essence of the man. What was the man? Man is a strange kind of food. Because it only, it was food that, obeyed halacha. That, it only existed when it was supposed to.
There's an issa to Lasimena at Boker, and if it's left over to Boker, Hayom Talon Vayivash. Okay? It deteriorates. Right. Okay. So Rashi says, and then also on Shabbos. Shabbos was, Shabbos they had to gather twice the amount, and the Shabbos they weren't permitted to gather any money. Now what was the purpose of this? What was the whole idea of the money? So Ramban says like this. Ramban says, he says, Ki hoya yochol, he says, Balichim b'midbar. He says, Ki yochol alichim b'derech ha'or ma'ashes v'asim. Could have taken them through the towns. Balichim b'midbar, nochash sar v'akrav. V'shelo yiyeh lohem lechem rak min ha'shamayim. V'ayom b'yomo. L'nasosam u'lehetiv lem b'acharona, sh'yaminu bo l'olam. U'kmo u'kvar pirashti inyam son. Oh, he's okay, right. Then he says like this. He says before Ramban says, he says, why is this called an Nisayon? He says like this. He says, Laman and Oslo, the Pasuk, what's the Pasuk in Ram? Amachilcha mamba midbar shal yodan ava secha, Laman and Oslo, Laman naso secha, leitivcha ba'achri secha. He says, Ki Nisayon hulohan, shalohoya biyada mozon. This wasn't a sign for them. They didn't have any food. V'lo yira lahem eitza b'midbar, and they couldn't find any way, any eitza in the midbar, to be able to have sustenance. Rak hamon shelo yodu mitchilo v'lo shamu me'avosom. They never knew about this type of food. They never heard about it from their fathers. The yored lohem dvayom biyomo, the yar ivu elav. The im kol zeh shamu lelechas achrei Hashem lo makom lechem. Okay. So what does it mean? What does he need to say? What is an interesting thing? He says that it's a food that their fathers didn't know. So the fathers didn't know. What does it got to do with it? The pshat is that the mon, the nesayin of a mon, was a very difficult thing, like Ramban says. He says, Nisayon ulahem. What was the Nisayon? Why was it so difficult? Because it went against everything that a person by nature needs for his security. A person for security requires a sense of self, that he himself is involved in securing his future. See? He himself is involved in securing his future. He needs that for a sense of security. Now, the mon was something that went completely against that narcissistic sense of security, because there was no ability for a person to feel any kind of security, because it's something which he depended, like Ramban says, the yar ivo elov. It's a new thing, totally new. If it was something that his fathers had, so there's a certain security in that. I live the way my father lived. A certain kind of a security that a person senses, feels that this is the way it is. This is the way people live, this is the way my parents live, and this is the way I live. So there's a certain kind of sense of security in that. If they, you see people that take over, for instance, a business from an existing business from one's parents, they feel a certain security. The business is going on years, and now I'm taking it over. So there's a certain security that it's something which is familiar, and something which they could put into their frame of reference. It gives them a sense of security. Over here, there was a totally new thing. There was no sense of security, not in terms of the past, not in terms of the past, and not in terms of the present. Because the moment that it was a constant reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Constant reliance. Now that kind of a thing is a very difficult state for a person to live in. It's a difficult state of mind for a person to feel that he has no security in and of himself. Everybody wants to feel that they have a certain type of, that their security stems from themselves. They say, for instance, the worst thing that happens to people, Chamon Aslan, a person becomes ill, so he becomes dependent on others. Psychologically, that's the most devastating, has the most devastating effect. Why? Because the person feels a loss of control. Loss of control. And that's why people become ill, become old and very weak. Is they lose their sense of their sense of self, and they become depressed because they feel they don't have any control. They lose a sense of control. Ramon worked against that emotion. There's no possibility for the person to feel any type of exercising any control over their own future, over their own existence. There was a complete dependence. One night you take the food, you have the food, and tomorrow no one knows where the food's going to come from. And he doesn't know, and there's only one way, only the Haftachas Hashem, but the, in terms of himself, there's no possible type of security. Why do people hoard money? Why do people put away money? Financial security. What is financial security? Financial security means that a person feels that he's independent, a sense of independence. If a person loses a sense of independence, it's the most devastating blow to the psyche. So the man was an unbelievable type of nesayin. Was an nesayin which demanded that a person gives up that whole emotion. That whole emotion, that entire emotion of security, and that a person is self-determined, the self-determination. He is lost, completely lost. Completely lost. He's totally, completely Bakarash Baruch Hu. And he can't even have the security in thinking that he's doing something that his parents did. If the mon came down from before, so it would be an accepted fact. A person has security, and that was the accepted way. But there wasn't even that security. It was a new kind of a food. And the Torah describes its appearance. It was a different kind of appearance, a unique appearance. Okay? So that's what the Ramban says. The Lo Yiralem Eitzah Bamidbar. There's no way that they themselves could work out an Eitzah. They could work out an Eitzah, so then they feel security, sense of independence. But there was no way for them to do it. He says, Rak Hamon Shlo Yodim Etzchilu Hashem Rosh Yoridlem Dvayom Biyomo. The Yarivo Elo. They hungered for the mon. Constant state of need. That was the type of sustenance that the mon gave them. The mon gave them sustenance, but it was sustenance without any sense of security. That's the essence of the mon. Yeah.
What
is one generation? Yes. In the mon there was another. That's the fact that it was Dvayom Biyomo. But there was another lesson in the Mon also. The second lesson in the Mon was Shabbos. That on Shabbos, you can't even be involved, even in gathering, even in the act of gathering, on Shabbos you can't be involved. Okay, at least the person gathers the money, feels like he gathered it, he has it. So some kind of activity. On Shabbos, he can't even be preoccupied at all with his sustenance, even from the mon itself. That was the second halacha in the mon. Okay, that was the second halacha. It means that Shabbos is Lashem. Yeah. Who was she? Dibur Hashem. Shabboson Shabbos Kodesh Lashem Mocha. Eisa she tofu eifu veisa she tivashlu bashelu veis kol haodei panichol lachem meshmeres araboka. Okay. So then, when you chasal aboker, if it's a moshav lohi, it's rima lohi salah. The Shabbos is a separate thing. That Shabbos, yom moshichlu, ayom to Shabbos yom Hashem, ayom lo simtzu basada. Sheishes yom zol ketuv, ayom ashvi Shabbos lo yebo. Vayi bayom ashvi yotzu menom lokot, v'lo matzol. Okay. So that was the concept of Shabbos, was that on Shabbos there's only one preoccupation. Shabbos is only as kula Lashem. And Shabbos is a day which is designated completely to Torah, and there's no preoccupation whatsoever with physical sustenance. That was the second idea in the mind. What's the relationship between the two ideas? What's the relationship between the two ideas? It's a relationship. One halacha was that you couldn't get out, you had to be totally dependent. What's in a boker? Second halacha was Shabbos. What's the relationship between the two ideas? There's one more thing about the mind. There's one more thing about the mind. What's the last thing about it? Yeah, right. The fact that Ramban mentions the fact that it was a new kind of a food, and that itself took away from the security, because it was something that was something that it's something a person has in the past. He feels a certain sense of security with. He has it already. A new thing is dangerous. It's a new thing. He feels insecure about it. And that's why it says, Vayikros Vayikashimo Monhu. Vayivneso Vayimisho Monhu. Kilo Yadu Maho. What is it supposed to say? Monhu. Who cares? What is it called? It? No, that's the point. Vayikashimo Vayimishalochas Monhu Kilo Yadu Maho. It means that was part of the essence of Mon, that they couldn't identify it with any kind of a previous food. That's the Ramban. That was the essence of Mon, was total insecurity. I had no idea what it is. At least if it's something happened in the past, you have some kind of security. It worked. You see, you had it. This is to rely on it. Now, Mon, the very name itself, was the very term that was used, implied. That's what it says, Vayom Yishaloch is Mon. It means that was the reaction. It's a new kind of a thing, and they were unable to put it into their frame of reference in terms of security. Yeah, but there's one thing more about the month. What was the one thing more about the month? one more mitzvah in the month. It wasn't the... What was the mitzvah? No. Vayoma Moshe Lan. Vayoma Moshe. Zeh ha-dovah she-tziva Hashem. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Melo ha-oma mimenu le-mishmeres le-dorosechem. L'man yiros alechem asher achalti eschem b'midbar v'tzi eschem me'eretz Yisrael. Okay, so what is the so that was the last halacha, was the mishmeres to take the tzitzenes haman. What was tzitzenes haman? What was the purpose of tzitzenes haman? Curiosity, put it in the museum so people go by and see the a relic. We're not a religion of relics. But what is the purpose of tzitzenes? What is the purpose of tzitzenes? So Rashi says, the Doro Seichem, Rashi says, Bimei Yirmiyahu. Kishahoya Yirmiyahu Mochichem. Yirmiyahu reproved the people. Lomayin atem oskin betorah. Vehem omrim, naniach malachtenu venasak betorah. Mehechon nespanes. Hotzi lahem tzintzenes amon. Omar lahem, atem ru'u dvar Hashem. Shimu lo nema amaru ala ru'u. Bozen is panasu avoisechem. Harbe shluchim yesh lamakom, lahochin mozon liareo. That was the language. Many shluchim HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in order to provide sustenance to those that fear God. So what does that mean? So it means that the essence of the mon, in the mon they learned that there's a different kind of causality. The whole world believes in a causality where a person works, and because of the fact that he does activity, he can obtain certain results to secure his life. The mon taught Klal Yisrael that there's another kind of causality. What's the other kind of causality? If a person is osek, if a person involves himself in metaphysical reality, so then sustenance is provided to him. Different kind of causality. There's a physical causality, and there's a metaphysical causality. And that was the essence. That's tzintzenes haman. That's why there was a tzintzenes. The whole purpose of the tzintzenes wasn't that stump to show the mon. Who cares what they did? What's the difference to us? We're not interested. That's Yadus isn't interested in museums. The purpose of its incentives was one thing. It was for a limud. What was a limud?
the limit of metaphysical causality. That's what the Rambam says, like the Rambam says in the end of Hilchos Shmita Aviyavo, the famous Rambam in the end of Hilchos Shmita Aviyavo, where not only Shevet Levi, but any person that's Osek in Torah, the Kadosh Baruch Hu provides for him. Kadosh Baruch Hu provides for him. How do you know that such a thing is true? The Mon. That's the Raya. The Mon. The Mon is the proof. Lorak Shevet Levi is right. Not just Shevet Levi. But from Shevet Levi alone, you don't have any Raya. Shevet Levi was a separate thing, of course. He set aside a separate Shevet. Shevet Levi, a Kohen, a Kohen, Kahanan, have an income, have an income. But how do you know it's going to happen to every person that sets himself only towards one purpose, to learn Torah? The Raya, what's the Raya? The Raya is Mon. The Raya is Mon. That's what Yom Yonavi said. Ru, Bozen, is fine. That's the whole purpose of the Sinsenis. So the Mon taught a person one thing, that there's a metaphysical causality. Metaphysical causality, it was on a daily basis, but Shabbos, which is the day that the person involves himself totally in Yedias Hashem, on that day there is no involvement whatsoever. Because over there, the metaphysical reality, not only, there's a metaphysical reality in terms of a person that's dedicated to Torah, then he has to do something, Ram says. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mefarnes in some way. He finds some easy parnasa that he could learn Torah and he could still be Mefarnes. That's on a general basis. That's a daily mon. The daily mon. But Shabbos is even a higher level. Shabbos, he doesn't have to do anything. Shabbos is not necessary for him to do any maisa whatsoever. Okay? And you see, this is the raya to support this? You have a raya to support this idea? That there's such a thing? What's the raya? There's a raya. You can bring me a raya from a halacha, from a gemara. That proves it. Yes, we know the Rams, and we know a person that dedicates himself to Torah will always find an easy panacea. He could devolve himself money. If he wants to do it, he could do it. That's the halacha. If he sincerely sets himself towards that purpose, so Kadosh Baruch Hu will give him an easy panacea and he'll be able to be Osek in Torah. It'll be Osek in Torah. But he has to do something. But it won't interfere with his Oskus in Torah. He'll be able to spend enough time in learning so that he could constantly progress in learning. Constantly be involved in learning and be productive. That's the mon. But Shabbos is even more. Shabbos, he doesn't have to do anything. How do you know that he doesn't have to do anything on Shabbos? Where do you see that? That's a Gemara. Gemara in Beitza, second parrot. Gemara says, what do you want to say? Kol mezon osov shel odom kitzuvim lo me Rosh Hashanah. Chutz, except for what? Otzos Shabbos and Yom Tovim. And Limatara for Banach. So you see, there's another kind of Ashgacha. There's Ashgacha where he doesn't have to do anything. There's Ashgacha that exists today. If he's on Shabbos, he doesn't have to lift a finger, nothing. And he's Mispanis, because whatever he spends for Shabbos, so he gets back. Where's that from? That's from the Mon. That's the second halacha in the month. Okay? Doesn't work. If he spends more for Shabbos, he gets back more. He spends less on Shabbos, he gets back less. That's not a stamma ma'isa. The Gemara is telling you it's halacha. I mean, it's halacha bin a geya rashi. It's halacha bin a geya derech eretz. That a person shouldn't overspend because he's not going to get back. He should be careful. He should be cautious with his money. But when it comes to Shabbos, he doesn't have to be cautious with his money because whatever he spends on Shabbos, he gets back. That's a haftocha. It's a hashgacha. It's hashgacha of Hashem. So that's the essence of the mon. The essence of the mon is, what is the essence of the mon? The essence of the mon is hashgacha Hashem. Hashgacha Hashem. Metaphysical causality. Lavo alive on Yiparei. Okay. There's a tesis there that qualifies it. Okay, but I'm not going to, tesis in Beitza qualifies it. This is another chazal that I say Shabbat Kachov, Al Tzach Lebris. So Rashi is a separate thing over there. Okay. Yeah, what I mean is good. It's good for us. So how does that, How does that fit into this idea? As a fundamental idea, it means to say not just the causalities in terms of receiving. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given bread min hashamayim, so that would also be asgach. You see, that asgach is that you don't have to go out and work for bread. Bread comes down min hashamayim. But bread didn't come down min hashamayim. What came down was a different kind of a substance. So it showed that the causality, the metaphysical causality, is not only in terms of the action, in terms of the gathering, but even in the substance itself. The fact that you can survive on it is because of the metaphysical causality. Means that the metaphysical causality is not just with regard to the gathering, but even with regard to the substance itself. That's very good. Excellent. Now, if God would have given lechem in Hashemayim, actual lechem, so then it would detract from the idea of metaphysical causality. Because in the substance itself, it says substance works normally. It's just how it got here is metaphysical. But not only how it got here, but the very substance itself is the metaphysical causality resides in the substance itself. Excellent. Very good. So so Shabbos plays a very special role, you see. Shabbos, the only mitzvah that plays a role in the month is Shabbos, no other mitzvah. Why? Because Shabbos is Kulal Hashem. And when it's Kulal Hashem, so then you don't have to, do anything. Kulal Hashem, you don't have to do anything. And that's only Shabbos. Shabbos is the only existence which is Kulal Hashem. That's why you say in the Rachman. So that means that Shabbos is the ultimate existence. That's what you're saying to Rachman. That the Shabbos is a reflection. You're looking forward now. We had Shabbos looking forward to the ultimate existence. The Yom Shikul Shabbos Menucha. And the ultimate but it doesn't mean Chalom Haba. Yeah, right. So right. There won't be any like the Rambam says. It'll be because Kola Madana Mitzvah Kachar. You're not doing it. So Shabbos has a unique role. That's why the Rav said once that he never made a Shtar Shabbos. You know, the person has a business, so there are ways to work around it. You have a day, you can be able to have a day, and you can still earn your profits. There are ways to work around halachically. And to have a business on Shabbos, and you can still profit. Rav said, I never made a shtar like that, he said, because Shabbos is not for making money. As I said, Shabbos is not for making money. It sounds like, the Rav is not a Fumach. Sounds like, Halacha says it's Mutter, so what's wrong? Halacha, you know, we know that the Torah doesn't want to make things difficult for us. That's why God gave us a halachic system. The only difficulty is knowing the system. But once you know the system, so then you can work out a lot of things. Practically everything. So practically, yeah, sometimes you can't. But it's a rarity. Most of the time, the halachic system was constructed in such a way that you could always work out almost anything. Any tzarach. Rachel dach hainoam l'chom esiris hashom. So the Rachel dach hainoam. That way it always works out. The system is engineered that way. Mitchilasa. If you know the system, you can work out. There's no inconvenience. Nothing's difficult. The only thing is you have to know the system. So why did the Rav say that? The Rav said it because that's a theme of Shabbos. That's the whole concept of Shabbos. The whole idea of Shabbos. The whole idea of the month. It is that a person is supposed to, he's supposed to free himself from the idea that his sustenance is supposed to be through Shabbos. That's the whole concept of Shabbos. That's why it's not the Rav holds that kula is not a valid kula, because it goes against the whole philosophy of Shabbos. It goes against the whole idea of Shabbos. So over there, you can't say you can work it out halachically. You work out something halachically where it doesn't go against the theme of the halacha. But where the Torah set down a theme and the Torah says this is the whole essence of the day, then you're going against them. You're going against the essence of the mitzvah. You're not allowed to do that. You're going against the Talmud mitzvah. Can't do that. That's what a Rav never does. That's not earning your sustenance. Earning your sustenance, you can't do on Shabbos in any way whatsoever. If you have in mind to earn sustenance on Shabbos, then you're going against the whole philosophy of Shabbos. And so it's not a philosophy. It's not a philosophy. It's the Torah. The Torah says that's the reason. You're going against the philosophy of Torah. Well, you're over halacha, no, but you're over the Talmud mitzvah. You can't be able to, a person shouldn't be able to come on mitzvahs. Okay? That's why, like with Mutzah. It says, L'man yinuach shiach alach ha-maracha. So the Rambam says that's why they made Mutzah. So Chaim says it's a pasuk, so what do you, it's a deraisa. So how could Rambam say that, how could Rambam say that it's Rabban? It's deraisa. So Rabbi Chaim says, no, L'man yinuach is a tam of the Torah. So the Torah doesn't say that you have to do it. Chaim came along and said, no, well, you must do it. They're mechayev it. But a person shouldn't go against the Tama Akra, even before the Rabbanan, it is a kinyan that arises to follow the Tama Akra, even though the Torah didn't take this Tam and make it into a formal halacha chiyuvis. But nevertheless, it's not proper for a person, it's not a sign of perfection if a person goes against the Tama Akra. So that's why the same thing over here. The same thing with the Rav of the Gata Vishtaras. Okay. Now it's an interesting thing. But there's an old question. Maybe we could explain a stira in the Aseres Adibris with regard to Shabbos. Of course, in the first Aseres Adibris in Yisrael, so what does it say? It says, Kisheshis Yomim, Zochas Yom HaShabbos, Lekacho, Shesh Yom Tavot, Kisheshis Yomim, Asad Hashem HaShemayim, Vesaretz HaShem 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 HaShem. So that's the reason for Shabbos, right? But when you take a look in Dvarim, so when Moshe Rabbeinu said over the Aseres Adibris, he changed it. He said, "V'yom Hashishas L'Hashem L'Kecha Los Shomar Hashem L'Shabbos L'Kacha Kasher Tzivcha Hashem L'Kecha." Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't arguing with the previous Tom, but he was adding Shomar Hashem L'Shabbos L'Kacha Kasher Tzivcha Hashem L'Kecha before, which is Kasher Shishab. But then at the end, he added something new. V'zochato ki eved o yisa be'eretz mitzrayim v'yatziyachad Hashem l'kecha misham b'yodcha zog v'zorayim v'tuyo al-kain tzivchad Hashem l'kecha lasas es yom ha-shabbos. I mean, al-kain tzivchad Hashem. No, it says before, al-kain be'erach Hashem es yom ha-shabbos v'yikacheo. So what's the second al-kain? Okay? So it's a big problem, what the steer is. Or what's the pshat? I don't think it's a steer. It's no steer. Why is it no steer? I'll tell you why. Fits in very nicely. Because in Shabbos, there's two things. See, one thing in Shabbos is that Shabbos is Briyas HaOlam. It's Briyas HaOlam. The Borei Olam. The Sheshes Yom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the Borei Olam. That's the theme of Shabbos. That's what Shabbos means. It's the Borei Olam. But there's another halacha in Shabbos. The second halacha in Shabbos is what? Is the halacha of the Ashgocha. Of the Ashgochas Hashem. That was the Mon. Why do they have the moon came down twice as much on Friday so that they should be able to have Shabbos? Because there's another halacha. There's a halacha that if a person keeps Shabbos, he doesn't have to be concerned with his sustenance. He doesn't have to be concerned with his sustenance if he keeps Shabbos. That's a metaphysical concept. Shabbos represents, there's two things. There's the theme of Shabbos, and then there is the practice of keeping Shabbos insofar as it relates to man. The metaphysical relationship between God and Klal Yisrael when Klal Yisrael keeps Shabbos, which is that if a person keeps Shabbos and he's mekayim Shabbos Lashem, he doesn't have to worry about his sustenance. Why? Because Hashgachas Hashem, Hashgachas Hashem, Hashgachas. What event represents the Hashgacha to the highest degree? What event represents the Hashgacha to the highest degree? Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim. See? So, Sheish Yom Tavo, Siskom Lachtecha, Yom Shishab Hashem Lachtecha, Vassasecha Malocha, Ato, Vincho, Vitecha, Vavdecha, Vassecha, Vashochem, Recha. What? But what about the fact that I have to have sustenance? Sheshes Yom Tavo, of course. Why Sheshes Yom Tavo? Because the person needs sustenance. That's why he's an Ovid. Why is the person an Ovid? Because he has to have a way to live. He needs a living. But the Yom HaShvi'i? No. Yom HaShvi'i Shabbos Yom Lekecha? You'll tell me you're worried about the fact that you won't be able to survive? How are you going to sustain yourself? What's the answer? The answer is, Zachata ki evar yisubar tzayim etziyachar Hashem Lekecha Mishem b'yad chazak v'zayim tuya. That there's Hashgachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashgachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees that what? Al-Kain Tzivchot Hashem L'Kecha Lassus Hashem HaShabbos. That the Hashgachas Hashem guarantees that a person who keeps Shabbos has no need to worry about how he's going to sustain himself. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael.
So there's two, so it's not a tata de sasri. It's not a tata de sasri. There's two things with regard to Shabbos. One thing with regard to Shabbos is a theme itself. Why? What is Shabbos? Shabbos is Sheish Leveshus. Yisolam. Kadmus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Shabbos is. But in the keeping of Shabbos, in the keeping of Shabbos, there's a very special relationship that exists between the person that keeps Shabbos and between HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the relationship? The relationship is Hashgachas Hashem. Hashgachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the relationship that goes on between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and an individual that keeps Shabbos. So an individual that keeps Shabbos doesn't have to worry about his sustenance. So Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael in Dvorim was Shabbos, the first Dibros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the reason for Shabbos. Now Moshe Rabbeinu was giving Musa to Klal Yisrael in Dvorim. This was Divrei Moshe, he gave Musa to Klal Yisrael. So what did he tell him? They told him, Shomar Siyom HaShabbos, L'kacha Kasher Tzivchot Hashem Alekech. Be careful to keep, to watch Shabbos. Sheishas Yom Tavo, but Shabbos, you shouldn't do anything. Ah, you'll tell me you're worried about your sustenance? There's a charta ki ever to Yisrael Mitzrayim, but Yisrael Hashem Alekech Mishnem, but Yerch HaZak is running it to you. Remember Hashgachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember Hashgachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll realize that Al-Kain, what does the Pasuk say? Al-Kain Tzivchot Hashem Alekech Lassas Yom HaShabbos. So what does Rashi say? Al-Minas Kain Pedoch HaShetilo Ever Tishma Mitzroso. That was the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So therefore, if a person engages in the mitzvah, in the metaphysical world, in the world of Shemir Shabbos, in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he's under the Ashgacha. That was the whole purpose of it. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly relates to Klal Yisrael, and anyone who involves himself in mitzvahs HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Shabbos, in the life of Shabbos, doesn't have to be concerned about his sustenance. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides the sustenance, just like he took us out of Mitzrayim. Ashgachas Hashem. That's in the second Dibros. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael in the second Dibros that they should make sure to keep Shabbos and they shouldn't be concerned. Shomar Shomar Shabbos HaKadosh, they shouldn't be concerned about your sustenance. Where do you see that from? That's from the Mon. That's from the Mon. That's Allah on the Mon. That was the second Allah on the Mon. Okay. In Bahar, right. Shmita also. But Shmita also, the thing is, how could a person eat, how's going to have what to eat on the Pasuk. The Chitoma Man Nochal Bashono Ashvius, Hein Lo Nizra Velo Neso Fesfuasenu, right? That's in Bahar. Hein Lo Nizra Velo Neso Fesfuasenu. So how are we going to have what to eat? So what does the Pasuk say? No, Vitzivisius Berchosi Lachem. And the also says a tool is Shlosh Hashanah. Right? Chafei Chafala. Right. The Chi Chaf. The Chi Sama Nachal Hashanah Shvius. Hemel Yisrael says in the one Esos Tvul Sinu. V'tzivis Yis Berchosi Lechem Bashanah Shishis. The also says a tool of Shlosh Hashanah. See? V'chaltman a tool Yashem. Ad Hashanah Chiyas. Ad both for us a tochu Yashem. So that's the same exact thing. Shabbos Lashem. Same exact thing. So in Shemitah also you have the same Avtacha. Same exact thing. It means to say, that's the idea, that's the concept of the mind. So in Shmiras Shabbos there's a special halacha of the Ashgachas Hashem. Shmiras Shabbos isn't really a sacrifice. You're not sacrificing your sustenance. You're just involving yourself in a different type of causality. It's a causality through the metaphysical, not a causality through the physical. Sheish Yom Tavod, for 6 days you're involved in physical causality. By Yom HaShvi Shabbos, metaphysical causality. Why? If it's a chayto ki ever a yisim mitzrayim lo yotzicho Hashem whatever, the yor chazok is running to you, so you should know Ashgachas Hashem. Ashgachas Hashem tells you that you have nothing to be concerned about, and that on the contrary, that the metaphysical causality is just as real, even more real, because you're relating to the source, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. It's more real than the physical causality. That's the halacha of Shabbos. No contradiction between the two. Two different things. One is, what is the theme? The theme is Sheish Yis Yamim. But what is my involvement? How does my involvement in the theme take place? My personal involvement in the Shmiras HaMitzvos? How does that take place? That's Ashgacha. That's Ashgacha.
Yeah, very good. That's very good. That's very good. So Rashi says that it doubled on Shabbos. It took it on Friday and doubled on Shabbos. That's very good. That's good. That's what Rashi says. You say Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. That's what it means. It means Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. The physical causality, the fact that it didn't rot, he's right. That's right. That's Binyamin's right. The fact that it didn't rot, and it rotted every other day, so that shows you that the metaphysical causality. Very good. That's not security. That's only because of metaphysical causality. Very good. Yeah. There's one more thing though about Shabbos. It's an interesting thing. It's something that that always bothered me. Yeah. I'm sure bothered you the same question with regard to Shabbos. Because Halacha is like that. Halacha and Shabbos is anyone that's machal Shabbos is kofar b'maisa b'reishis. That's what he's asking. They're not the curse. I've never kofar. Now what if it bothers me like this? Because he doesn't keep Shabbos, he denies HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he denies Bri, Yitzhira. So what, Bria Sola. So the question is, brother, what if a person says, look, I don't see why it has to be that way. I believe in Sheishis and Mebreishis, exactly like the Torah tells, exactly what the Torah describes, that there was a creation. Creation was from nothing. And Yesh Me'ayin, I accept it all, but I am busy. I mean, I can't. It's a nice idea. I accept the idea, but I can't die. What have to do with me keeping Shabbos? What does that have to do with me keeping Shabbos? You understand what I mean? It's a different thing. Why do you say if I don't keep Shabbos, I'm a kofar b'maisa b'reishis? I'm not a kofar b'maisa b'reishis. Kofar means an intellectual, as an intellectual sphere, fear. So intellectually, I acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam 100%, but I have to go to business now. I have to earn money. I'm not denying. There are people that are like that. I don't see why. It's certainly not impossible, and certainly there are many people like that. So why is such a person considered as if he's a kofar b'maisa b'reishis? It's a disturbing thing. What? So he's denying Hashgacha. He denies the Gemara that says that whatever a person earns, he's going to get paid back. All right? It's not a nice thing to deny a Gemara. He's not a tzaddik. I mean, he's lacking in bitachon. He has to learn shara bitachon. But what does it have to do with why is he a kofar b'ikar? I mean, he's a kofar b'ikar. It's a very serious kind of category to place him into. Any kind of person doesn't know a mitzvah, he denies what God says. That's any mitzvah, even Rabbanim. Deny the Torah Sal Piyah, Torah Shere Ruchu. God said that too. What's the difference? Yeah, I want to say something, an interesting thing. A yisod, perhaps. In other words, like this. That apparently Yadus holds that if a person denies Hashgachas Hashem, he denies Mahuso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just an additional feature. You see, Hashgachas Hashem is not just an additional feature. Hashgachas Hashem is Mahuso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahuso, his essence. Okay, Mahus. So that's what Yadis holds. It's an interesting formula. It means to say like this. It's a serious statement, but it means to say like this. It means to say, if a person believes that God is the Borei Olam, okay, that God is the Borei Olam, and many scientists today believe God is the Borei Olam, because they see now through modern cosmology, they see there was a creation. Okay, so there are scientists that believe that without any religious inclination, but they just believe that now they see that there's a creation. There's some of them say there's something behind the creation. They could see there's a Borei Olam. There's some impenetrable existence that's beyond all creation. And they agree. They accept it. Many scientists accept it today. But according to Yadus, that's still... is not Amunah B'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'll show you why, to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the universe, but he has nothing to do, there is no ongoing relationship between this creator And man is a denial of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That means that's not, you are not, you're changing the one that you're referring to, your reference. We only know our Kodesh Baruch Hu by way of reference. That's it. That's all we know. Elohim, multi-powerful. Okay, that's why it's plural, multi-powerful. Then you have HaYehovah V'Yiyah, Yudkei Vovkei, Ekya Asher Ekya. That means reference. We only know by way of reference. So the source of existence, HaYehovah V'Yiyah. So we only know God by way of reference. That's why we're not even going to pronounce Yudkei Vovkei, because it would imply that we know more than a mere reference. Okay? Can't pronounce. We don't even understand the reference, actually. That's what I mean. We don't understand the reference itself is beyond our intelligibility. That's why we can't enunciate it. Okay? So it means to say that if you believe in a being that was a Borei Shamayim V'Oretz, even though you believe in a being that was Borei Shamayim V'Oretz, but you believe that he has no ongoing relationship with Bnei Adam, then that's not the same reference anymore. That's not the reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's some other. There's no such being. You see. There's no such being. So therefore, if a person denies Shabbos, if a person doesn't practice Shabbos, what does it mean? It means he denies Hashgachas Hashem. He denies Hashgachas Hashem. If he denies Hashgachas Hashem, he denies HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tur Borei Olam as well. You see? Of course, that is a different. Even though you're right, Dalai Lama says more enosh kisiskareno. Yeah, it's a good kasha. More enosh kisiskareno. We don't understand. But the reality is that is the being. And I'll tell you why. It means like this. You can even understand it a little further. It means to say that if a person doesn't recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Borei Olam, who gave man a part of his chokhmah. Shecholak mechachmaso, shenasa mechachmaso lebasar adam. Shecholak mechachmaso liraeh. You could say such a thing. I mean, I wouldn't say it wasn't a bracha. God gave of his chachma to man. Nasa mechachmaso lebasar adam. So if a person thinks that the Creator who gave of his chachma to basar adam, and he allowed a basar adam to be able to comprehend and be able to penetrate his chachma, and he believes that this Creator has no relationship with this being that he endowed with his chachma, so then he doesn't have the proper idea of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what it means. In other words, if a person doesn't see from his chachma the fact that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him this ability, and if a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him this ability, via this ability there is an ongoing relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he denies that, then he's not talking about the Borei Olam. It is a denial of the Borei Olam. And therefore, it's a denial of Briyas Shamayim V'Aretz. Because it's a denial, it's ipso facto a denial of the Borei. That's why if a person is Machal Shabbos, it means he denies Hashgachas Hashem. That's the whole idea. There's two things in Shabbos. One thing in Shabbos is, that's why they both go hand in hand, you see. Al-Kin Tzivchor Hashem Olekechol Lassus is Yom HaShabbos. Because they both go hand in hand. Shabbos is two things. Shabbos is, first of all, Sheshes Yimei Bereshis, Borei Shamayim V'Aretz, and Shabbos is Hashgachas Hashem. Hashgachas Hashem to a Basar Adam, to Bnei Adam, to Klal Yisrael. So therefore, what it means is that if you don't keep Shabbos, so you're denying Briyas Shamayim V'Aretz, the theme itself, or else you're denying Hashgachas Hashem. If you're denying Hashgachas Hashem, it's the same thing. You're denying the Mahusa Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moinash Kisiskarani, yeah, it's a good kasha. You're right. The person who would come to the conclusion like Albert Einstein, the man isn't worthy. But the fact is that if you don't know the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to Basar Adam, then it's a denial in essence of the Mahusa Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he's a kofer of my separation. He's a kofer of my separation. Interesting thought. That's why it's a notion of the Tzichim. Because it's Hashgacha. Because Hashgacha doesn't say Borei Shemayim V'Aretz. Because really both are true. Both are true, but both are tied in. If you don't, if you deny Hashgachas Hashem, you deny Mahus Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is not the same, it is not the same, it's not the same Borei Olam. He's not relating to the same Borei Olam. He's missing a vital aspect in the formula of the Borei Shemayim V'aretz. And if he's missing a vital component of the formula, it's a denial. It's a, considered tantamount to a denial of Borei Shemayim V'aretz. Yes. The idea of Shabbos is the essential theme of Hashgachas Hashem. What is the idea? The idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if a person...